Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the UVC South podcast. Thank you for tuning in once again as we are on our second episode of our third season. Today, we'll be featuring Texas A&M and UTVSA as they talk about their upcoming externals and let us in on what they're working on. So today here, I have Zach, Anna, Jeannie, and Andrew. Zach, go ahead and introduce yourselves to everyone listening in.
Hi, my name is Zach Pham. My pronouns are he, him. I'm from UT, Texas VSA, and I'm the vice president external for,
And what's like your role for planning this coming external?
So my role is mostly for coordinating between the external schools, our partner schools, to come to data auction, and also some of the tech side for data auction.
Okay, nice. What kind of tech stuff do you do?
Kind of working with the ANV, like for performers, I guess, like equipment and stuff.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. Anna, what about you? Go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody here.
Okay, so my name's Anna Ngo, and my pronouns are she, her, and I'm also from UT, and I'm the VPI, so Vice President Internal. And basically, this is my main event for this year, so it's basically, and I just basically plan everything, work with getting the venue and then working with the performers and everything, and then contacting everyone and putting the whole event together.
Okay, gotcha. And like what you said this is your main event. What do you mean by that? Is it like do each does each officer have like their own like thing they plan throughout the year or?
Yeah, so mostly like each officer on our board basically has like a role or event, so like socials will do socials and stuff like that. But for VPI, my main event is only data auction, and then I do some like interning next semester with all the like underclassmen. But
Okay.
this is like the main one for this semester.
Gotcha. All right. Nice. All right, Jeannie, go ahead and introduce yourself too.
Hello, I am Jeannie. I go by she, her, hers, and I am the president of TAMU VSA.
Nice. And what's your role in your coming external for TAMU?
I just provide a little bit of oversight and guidance where needed.
Okay. Nice. All right, Andrew, what about you?
Hello, I'm Andrew Lin. I am the vice president of TAMU VSA. My pronouns are he, him, his. And basically, for the external, the esports tournament that we're hosting, I am kind of overseeing everything, and I'm kind of the head honcho of what each committee and kind of telling them what their tasks are. I do more communications since I'm on the ICC team to make sure that I can relay information on to people. But I'm making sure that everything is running smoothly and planned out.
Nice. And I have to ask, like, for everybody here, what was your first external experience like, since we're on the topic of externals and stuff? So, yeah, Jeannie, what was your first external like?
My first example was actually UT Date Auction my
Oh,
freshman
okay.
year. Kind of funny that we're
Yay.
here.
Slay.
But yeah, I literally had like always an exam lined up with all the rest of the externals. So UT Date Auction was the only one that I guess I had a clear weekend for. And so I was able to go and I really, really enjoyed it. Like I had lots of fun watching the performances and then also hanging out with friends. But overall, it was just a good like break from school, especially like since I've had those exams like stacked up with all the other internals. It was like finally a good chance to like get out of College Station and like really enjoy like what VSA is.
Okay. Nice. What do you know what the theme was for that external or like that date auction? 'Cause like was it like last year or something you said?
Was 2019, so it's
2019.
pretty long ago.
Was I there?
Was it your name?
Your name? Or through the
Oh
looking
yes, it
glass?
was.
Was
It was
it?
your name. Okay, yeah, I remember that now.
I was goaded.
Nice. What was like a memorable thing, or what was a good memory that you had from that experience or that external?
I don't remember the specific group that performed, but I remember there was like a dance performance that was like hip hop, And I really, really like that because I've been used to seeing a lot of like singing performances.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they brought on like a dance group, that was like, you know, really unique and like really fun to watch. And like it brought a lot of hype.
Nice.
So I really liked it.
No, yeah, I do also appreciate the other talents besides singing too. Not saying singing's bad, but like, you know, it's always cool to see like, oh wow, people have like other talents out there, you know.
For sure.
What about you, Andrew? What was your first external experience like?
So I joined VSA my second semester of freshman year, and my first external was the UT convention, the leadership convention they hosted.
Another UT.
Yeah. And that was like weeks before COVID hit. So that was my only external I had my freshman year. It was really fun. Definitely nice to see all the stations, all the leadership training and stuff. And then I got to meet people that I actually watched on YouTube growing up, which was Bart Kwan and Joe Jitsukawa. So it was really cool.
Oh, from Just Kidding Films.
Yeah, from Just Kidding.
Nice. Yeah, no, I went to convention too, and I think I was there when Jeremy Passion was performing or something. Or is it AJ Raphael? I don't know. One of those two. I think it was Jeremy Passion.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a fun one. Yeah. Do you still talk to your like family from there?
So I was in Kuropi fam, right? Kuropi. And it was funny because our leaders would message us once in a while, but after years now, compared to like Summit and Camp Legacy, you see how like the differences in families are. But I still think the family leaders are great, and we like talked for a bit, and then after a while, it's kind of died down. Sometimes they'll message here and there. They're like, "Congratulations on this position," to other people within the chat. But other than that, I feel like it's dialed down.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good. I mean, as long as, like, you know, you got a good experience out of it. That's
yeah.
Nice. Yeah. All right. What about you, Zach? When was your first external?
So my first external was legit last year
for
the Baylor external. Yeah, I'm a transfer to UT.
Oh.
And Baylor was my first external. And it was so crazy to see, like, what an external was to dress up and to see like so many people from different schools in one place. Like I was in VSA in high school, and the president in high school was actually one of the officers for a Baylor thing. And we have not talked for like 3 years. And I was like, why are you here?
Wait, you said you had VSA in high school?
Yeah, I had VSA in high school. Yeah.
What? Did y'all have VSA in high school? Because I did.
No, I didn't have
Some people did.
What?
I did not.
Houston gang.
Where are you a transfer from?
UTSA.
UTSA. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Nice. And you're a senior right now?
You said? I'm a junior.
Junior? Oh, okay.
A junior.
Gotcha. Nice. And what was, like, a memorable moment when you went to Baylor? Or was it?
So, memorable thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, for RVPX, when we got there, I think the day before the external, the hotel canceled on our entire school.
Wow.
So we had to book. That was memorable. It wasn't awesome.
Memorable or not good.
Yeah. But we had to like rebook at like this dingy ass motel with all these like people. And it was like, it was such a mess. It was so like, it's so dangerous. But honestly, that's what made it memorable. Literally, like, fearing for our lives in this Motel 6 with, like, 40 VSA members.
Oh, man. What?
Relatable.
I mean, the event itself was a lot of fun, but it was after we got back.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. What about you, Anna? What was your first external like?
I'm actually a sophomore, and I didn't go to any externals last year, so I haven't actually been to an external, but...
Yeah, external freshie.
I wanted to go to OU, but I think I ended up going out of town, and then I think I'm planning on going to UTA, hopefully, so we'll see.
Yeah, UTA does.
But I do hope to go on more in the future. But it's just last year never happened.
I will force you to, that's for sure.
Hey, you haven't been to, so like how are you going, how do you feel planning an external if, you know, when you haven't been to one exactly? Like, how does that
I'm not
feel?
gonna lie, it was kind of, I don't know, it feels like I'm just like kind of just like going for it and like don't know what to expect. But like Zach's been helping me out a lot with it, like on the external side. So it's been good. And I feel like everyone's been super supportive too. So it's been good. No, but it does feel kind of weird since I like haven't been to one, so I don't really know what to expect. So I'm trying my best.
No, yeah, like I can imagine it can be pretty hard and like daunting and stuff. I especially since like there I feel like what you should expect is a lot of people, obviously, and like you know, you can always like try to plan your best, but you know, sometimes things do go wrong. But I think the most important thing is just learning how to like manage what goes wrong and stuff. But you know, hopefully y'all have like a flawless external and stuff. And so for this podcast, we're just gonna talk about your upcoming external, which is the UT date auction, right? And so there's been a lot of date auctions in the past years and stuff. What for you, Anna, what would you say will make this date auction different from the rest?
I think the biggest difference right now is that we have four externals performing. So this year I try to get more like externals involved since last year the external turnout was more than our internal turnout for the date auction last year. So I thought that this year having more externals performing would be really good. So I know like UNT, UTD, A&M, and UTA are performing.
Oh,
And
okay.
so, yeah.
What
So I
kind
think
of
that's like the main thing that's making it different this year is the fact that we have so many externals performing and it kind of just like engages more than just like our internal members as well.
what size of like what are the numbers looking like for externals and like UT members? Like, what's the
So
ratio like?
this year we had a little of a hard time finding a venue. So our venue is actually
Mm-hmm.
smaller than it was last year. So we have to cap our attendance this year. So we can only have like 500 people. So
Oh, okay.
we're doing like 50-50, so 250 and 250.
Oh, okay.
But if we could, like if we didn't have a cap, I'm assuming there would have been a lot more people coming. But because of our
Well,
cap, it's only 500. Yeah.
well, like 500 sounds like a lot of
It's a lot.
people. Yeah,
Yeah.
like that's still a lot. And wow. What,
Yeah. It's just...
you said you had a hard time finding the venue. I remember the last date or UT date auction I went to was at like a Hilton Hotel or something. Is that like
Yeah,
gonna.
that one, it was like booked when we tried to book it in like May, and it was already like booked for the rest of the year, so we had to
Oh.
kind of scavenge for another venue.
All the way
It was
since
rough.
May?
Yeah.
What? Where's it gonna be at this time?
It's at the Bullock Museum. It's basically like it's literally across the street from our campus, so like it's only a 5-minute walk from campus, so it's really
Oh.
convenient for
Okay.
at least internal members.
For UT people, yeah, that live
Yeah.
on campus. external schools, good
Oh,
luck.
no, there's parking. There's parking.
There's a garage there, I think. That's where
Yeah,
we're
there is.
yeah. Okay.
It's free parking this year, so.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I just remember driving to Austin and always having to street park everywhere, so hopefully that's not gonna be an issue this year for your external. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Okay.
parking. Yeah.
That's good, that's good. And so, Zach, you said you had a pretty decent role in like planning date auction too. What would you say is the hardest part of planning a date auction, especially in this
Well,
capacity?
I feel like compared to what Anna's doing, I feel like I'm not really doing much. But like,
What do you
no, it's
mean?
just no. I'm just saying like, it's just like she's doing so much. It's just like the logistics mostly, and I think it's just getting all the like the ticket caps were like the hardest thing I felt for me to do. This is because like we're so limited in capacity. Because last year there was no cap at all, and this
Yeah.
year there just is. And we literally like went over like it's like 700 or something. I don't even know how,
700?
but yes. And
What?
I was
Yeah,
like,
last year we had 800 people go.
800?
Yeah, it was kind of insane.
What?
And then now, because everyone remembers what date auction was last year, and they're like, How come it's, I was like, it's just because I think since we're already, people are getting comfortable with COVID, that venue like instantly got booked because everything's coming back in. So we just had to really find that new location. And the ticket caps are like, they're like, the way we had to portion it was 50-50, right? And the thing is, I had to portion with all the ICC was so hard, like actually. And I would say that's the hardest part, but it's like the most emotional and mental hardest part for me. I'm like damn.
So you said there's gonna be like 250 UT VSA members and then like 250 external members. And like you have to split that 250 with all the other schools.
Yes, yeah.
Oh.
So,
What
do you see my issue?
how'd you split that? Like what was the procedure looking like?
So me and Anna, we based it off of like last year's attendance to see who would go, and then we just tried to make it like within the same range evenly. But even so, once you like 250 seems like a lot, but once you split it up even more, it's just like whoa. It's like this is, we did not have enough.
Oh man. Do you hope to keep or look for a different venue for next year?
Oh yeah, 100%. I don't even know. We start looking in January or something.
Honestly,
Yeah.
or maybe start looking right after and
Yeah.
save it for next year.
Honestly.
Dang.
For the future.
Sorry to hear that, but I mean, I feel like hopefully like everyone will still have a good time there, you know.
No, that's the whole point, you know. Just logistics.
Yeah, I feel you. All right. And then speaking of externals, Andrew, like this is for TAMU's upcoming external. Y'all are calling it the E Olympics, if I'm
Olympics, yeah. It's like
Olympics.
Olympics, but change the O to the E.
Okay. This is the first like Aggie external that I've ever heard of. Why did y'all decide to make it an esports like kind of esque tournament? Or like, yeah,
Yeah.
why did y'all decide to make that one TAMU's first thing ever?
So, last semester, our VPX, he did the VSA Olympics, so like an actual in-person sports and everything. And I liked the idea too, and I wanted to do kind of something that was online but different, but I also want to do both. So I was planning to do both an Olympics and Olympics. So one during the fall whenever it's kind of colder to like do esports, while and it's like the summer or springish time when it's warmer, we can do the Olympics in person. But right now the esports tournament, I had the idea kind of like 2 years ago. I was sports chief at the time, and it was during COVID, and I feel like we had a lot of people who played esports games in VSA scene, but there was never like any esports in, I don't know, like in the sports stuff, like intramurals and stuff at the time. So I wanted to like ask other schools, hey, you guys want to do something like that? And at the time, I got a bunch of other schools to basically have like a mini external at the time, and it went well. We had a lot of turnout, and then this year I was like, okay, I think we could probably run it back one more time. I had the logistics from a few years ago. I can kind of run the same thing back over again. And we had enough interest. All 10 schools are doing something within the tournament.
All 10 schools?
Yeah, so there's four
Oh, wow.
games, four events. There's League of Legends, Valorant, Tetris, and Minecraft.
Tetris and wait,
Yeah, there's Minecraft
Yes,
Hunger Games.
sir.
Yeah.
How do you compete in Minecraft?
Minecraft Hunger Games.
Minecraft Hunger Games?
Yeah.
What does that look like? I don't play
So, okay, you're good. So
Minecraft,
basically, for Minecraft, each school gets to have three representatives that will play in Hunger Games, and they get put in this little map with a border, and then they basically kill each other. But to make it ICC, to get money for ICC, we basically had it where people can sponsor items for their players. So it's kind of like real, like the Hunger Games movie, where you can sponsor your players' items and stuff to help them out, and it goes towards ICC projects. So that's how, yeah, also donation during streams and stuff. Tetris is just free for all the players. There's four players from each school representing their school. Valorant and League, one team represents for both events for their schools. So overall, looking at the spreadsheet, there's about 60 to 100 players. I'm not looking at repeating players because I can't like keep track of all of them, but it's about 60 to 100 the range of different gamers playing in the tournament.
Oh, wow. And like this esports event, you said it's also for charity or
Yeah, so the ICC project,
ICC project. Okay.
so CPP, my bad. So
Oh,
our
okay.
ICCs are working on CPP together, and I don't have the whole description, but basically it's for Southeast Asian kids being exploited over there, and we kind of wanted to raise money for that project. And for esports tournament, I couldn't think of much ways to do it besides maybe donations and other things like sponsors. So that's how I want to contribute this semester. Next semester we'll have other ideas, and we keep doing fundraisers throughout the year also.
Okay, I think the CPP beneficiary you're talking about is One Body Village.
Correct.
Yeah, that's the new one for this year, and I'm assuming like UT Date Auction, that's what y'all are also raising money for as well. Gotcha. Okay. And speaking of which, how exactly does raising money for CPP for like during UT Date Auction, how does that work? Because I know people like buy tickets and stuff there, but like, and don't people like still bid and stuff like that? Or like, what is that going to be the same process and stuff? What does that look like?
Yeah, so basically after, so we're gonna have like 10 performers perform, and then after each performance, they go through, it's basically like a live auction. So you can like auction for a date with the performer. So then like last year it was really fun because there were so many people. So people were just like screaming like five, no, I won't be 10, 20. It'll just like keep going up. And then basically that's like you kind of bid on a little date, and then
Okay.
all that money is what's donated.
Is it like a fictional date, or do they actually like have to go hang out with?
Actually have to go on them, but if they wanted to, they can like go on to like the VIP section of the after party with them, or if
Oh.
they, I guess if they really wanted to,
Well,
they could go on a
wait.
date.
What is a VIP section at an after party? What does
So
that look like? I've never heard of
there's
that
like, I don't know how that works for our venue this year. There's like a little like seating area, and it's just kind of like a VIP section. I don't know
Oh,
what special
it's
about
literally
it,
a
but.
section that is VIP section. It's just a bunch of like chairs and tables where people can just hang out. It's a, where their date can occur.
Oh,
They can make their first move.
is it like in front of everybody? Like, oh yeah, we can all see the VIP section, or is it
Yeah.
like
We're gonna watch
us
the
to
date the whole time.
yeah, watch like a live action bachelor type thing?
The auction part two, the aftermath.
The after. Okay. Nice. And like for the esports tourney, people are just like donating, like sponsoring the items for that Hunger Games Minecraft thing.
Yeah, basically, we'll have a chart that's going to be released. It's a graphic that shows what each item's going to cost, and then
Okay.
they'll Venmo Temu, and it's like, okay, I want to sponsor this player, this diamond sword, and it's going to have a cost on it on the side, and then you'll Venmo us, and then we'll give the item to them in the game, and then you'll get to watch them now use the item in the game stuff.
Interesting. This is a whole new concept I've never heard of before, especially for like an esports tournament. And y'all are doing like, yeah, four different games: League of Legends, Valorant, Tetris,
In
and
Minecraft.
Minecraft.
Yeah. And we're basing the rules for League of Legends and Valorant on the actual competitive scenes of these that they do in like tournaments. So basically like tournament rules for everything. There used to be like years ago we used to do a whole entire bracket. They or not a bracket. We used to do group stages and then play like bracket stuff, but now because of time we had to do brackets only.
Okay. Yeah, and like how many teams are going to be playing for like, League of Legends and Valorant? And like how do you balance that, What if there's like an uneven number of like players or teams for the bracket system?
So basically, as of now, there's nine League teams, nine
Nine.
Valorant teams. The bracket essentially is in a typical perfect world, you'll have like an eight team bracket. So instead of having a perfect world, we're gonna have like two teams play into that like initial thing, and it's randomized. I randomized already. The brackets and schedules have been finalized. It's all on the spreadsheet that all the players have access to, and we also are going to post a graphic about it later on in the future, but the access is all out, the schedule, the time and everything for each game. And to balance wise, like the ranks and everything, we kind of just said, you know, if your squad's the best players, that's the point of this. You know, there's no cap on ranks. There's nothing so you can go full on, bring out a full Radiant team, a full Challenger team, and just be everybody. But I mean, you're trying to score points. Each event will have a ranking system for amount of points, and the total points for each school will deem that school the winners of the Olympics.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting. And so I guess there's only like one or two teams that really have to do the play-in part of the brackets.
So for example, in the league bracket, UTSA and UT Arlington's are the ones playing that first game to get into the bracket.
To get into the bracket? Dang.
Yeah, they're in the bracket technically, but they had that first play-in game. And then for Valorant bracket, it's Texas State and UT. Oh, yeah, y'all. So... It's kind of unfortunate, but at the same time, it was just randomized, and those two teams got picked for each.
Okay. And I have to ask, Jeannie, since you're the president of TIM-UVSA, what do you have to take into consideration when you're planning this? And, like, what challenges come with a 2D event? Like, I've never heard of externals doing a 2D event. But like, why did this have to be split over 2 days, you know?
To my understanding, it's just logistically, you have to have like a good timing with these types of events in order to fulfill enough players. Because obviously you don't want to have them on for the whole day, right? So I just assume that like, it's best that we have it for 2 days so that everyone plays with ample time and like to the best of their ability. But I feel like my VP Andrew Nguyen can probably explain a lot better than I can.
Yeah. So originally I was thinking of doing 1 day, but then with the amount of teams, I want to have every school have the ability to be involved. And this is actually like the shortest possible term we can do if we didn't do like a whole group stage and everything. Yeah. But each game, for example, a Valorant in a league match is going to take about 30 minutes at least.
At least, yeah.
At least, yeah. And that's why we put an hour slot per game so that people can have ample time to rest and also like get the game done. So basically, if 10 teams are playing, looking at the bracket, you have our schedule starts 12 p.m. Saturday and 12 p.m. Sunday, and they don't finish until 9 p.m., 10 p.m. that day.
Oh, wow.
And it's a Twitch live stream. So if you guys want to watch, it's TIM-UVSA Twitch TV. But it's a stream all day, and we're doing the games. We'll have like talks on the side and analyzing. We'll also do like just intermission stuff.
Are you gonna be one of the casters?
I'll be playing in League, but I'll be casting every game I'm not playing. And then Valorant, I'll have the Valorant professional or better Valorant players cast for that because I do not know Valorant enough to cast that. I just be like, he's going in, he's shooting.
And I've seen like League casts or like streams before, but like, how does a local VSA level school like cast something like that? Like, how do y'all have the like system to like show both teams and like where they are and all the stats and stuff?
So the good thing about League of Legends and Valorant is that both of them have a spectator mode where you can actually see the player's point of views for Valorant, and then you can see third-person point of view for League of Legends. Okay. And the camera in League actually pans over to the action each time. So it's really easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
So with using OBS streams for Twitch TV, you just kind of stream the game, the sponsor's spectator mode, and then you can see everything that's going on, basically, and just have casting over that.
Okay, gotcha. Nice, yeah. Nice. All right. Glad to hear that, you know, y'all have a lot of content, especially for like a 2-day event coming up. Hopefully like, you know, people enjoy themselves and that y'all raise a lot of money for CPP. And there's just one thing I have to ask, I guess everyone else here. What do people at other schools have to look forward to your external? Like for you, Anna, for Date Auction, you know, what would you say to like a little freshman who's like kind of hesitant on going just because they don't know what's UT Date Auction or what it's about, or they might not even know people there. How would you entice, you know, someone like that to go to your external?
I think what drew me into Date Auction kind of, because it was also my first event as a freshman was Nate Auction for VSA at least. And I think it was mostly the fact that there was like externals coming. Like I thought it was really cool that other schools outside of like UT were coming in to see like people perform. So it was cool to like meet people. Plus if they have friends from other like VSAs, they can see if their friends are going and then you can just like kind of catch up. And it's just in general, it's just cool to meet people.
Nice. Zach, do you have anything to add to that for UT's date auction?
So I think it's really, any advice I would give is just taking that leap of faith to go to an external in general. UT date auction is, the auction ones are by far by the most fun to watch because you just see people literally battle it out, bidding on people with money. over like literally someone playing piano or something, and it's a lot of fun, and it's also a great time to just like see how the external schools interact, and you can go with your own school to have some kind of community. I don't know, yeah, I'd say just it's gonna be a fun time.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's really entertaining watching like different people bid real money. Like this is their actual like $20 bills that come from, you know, their pocket for like their friends or like whoever they want to see on stage, and just, you know, giving that money for CPP, seeing people like bid like in like $5 increments. It's a really like fun experience. I've been to my fair share of date auctions for UT and UTA actually, and it's pretty fun.
No. Last year, one school raised like over $1,000.
$1,000?
Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah. Well, also something to look forward to is our theme this year is Crazy Rich Asians. So it is your chance to dress up, show out, get the drip out, you know, dress to impress,
and spend money like Crazy Rich Asians.
And spend money, like, even though as college students.
Whatever money you can
afford. Yeah, to our promote. Parents for trust fund.
Nice. All right, what about you, Jeannie? What do people have to look forward to for TIMU's very different external from everyone else's?
You know what? I just think it's been our first event, like really putting us on the map as like an external school. Like we've had like our fair share of like internal events where like a lot of our members come out to, but like it's a good chance for us to like really garner in like external schools and external like VSA members. I know like our esports tourney is like really gamer oriented, but this can give us like a little sneak peek into like our spring Olympics where it's like in person like kind of field day and like sporty thing. That's also just like a full day of just like having fun with like friends from other schools. But essentially I would just say like you should really come out just to like have fun and like, you know, take a break from college, like all the like, you know, the homework and exams and stuff like that, and it's just like spend some time with friends, you know, especially VSA friends where you could probably find like your forever besties.
Yeah, and that spring Olympics, that's also another external for everyone to come out to for TAMU, right?
For sure. Yeah, we are hoping to plan it soon for this upcoming spring. We have it projected around early April.
All right, looking forward to it. We'll definitely having y'all back for another podcast to talk about that. Andrew, do you have anything else to add or any advice to give to people that are like, oh, I don't know what TAMU Olympics is, you know, why should I tune into this?
Yeah, I think it's something different because I want to be able to accommodate for those who aren't as social and extroverted to come out to like those in-person externals. Gaming is something that not everybody does, but it's also including some of the introverts that don't get to always go out and go to these externals in person and enjoy these after parties and everything like that. But you know, it's something different, and I think even if you don't enjoy the games, you can also just like watch the streams and support and just see your own school players play out, you know, and try to win for the school.
All right, thank y'all for that. And with that being said, thank you everyone for tuning in, listening to all our special guests here talk about their externals. I hope that you enjoy yourselves at these wonderful events that UT and TMU VSA have planned for you, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.